Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, St. Paul is very powerful in his expression today of telling us how we must live. He says, you must be dead to sin. Dead. It doesn't mean to kill oneself, of course. What it does mean is to put to death our sinful tendencies. This is what living the gospel is. We are commanded to be holy. And in order to become holy, we have to die to the old man. Earlier in today's epistles, St. Paul even says, we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. So you see, he's speaking allegorically, but very powerfully. And he calls our sinful tendencies the old man. What do you do with the old man? Crucify him. Nail him to the cross. And that's why there has to be self-denial in our lives. If we give in to ourselves, we're going to fall into sin. And so this is, again, something that St. Paul talks about more than just a couple of times in his epistles. And this is a daily effort, not just, I'll do it on Sundays or I'll do it once in a while. This is a daily effort because we all have this fallen human nature. We're fallen. And it's very easy to let go, let spiritual gravity take over. And what happens? We go down, down, down. So our daily life is an effort. Our daily life is a battle. And not just against our fallen human nature, we're also battling the devil. And we're battling the world. The world that atmosphere, not the world that God created, but the atmosphere of materialism and putting worldly values ahead of spiritual values. That's the world. You know, it also occurred to me as I was thinking of the sermon, this is why most religious orders, when the individual becomes a novice, a new name is bestowed upon them. Now, they already have a Christian name. They had to have been given one in baptism. And even that idea of a Christian name in baptism, that's where our obligation to die to self was imposed. St. Paul says we were buried with Christ in our baptism. However, since religious are called to that professional striving, you might say, for holiness, they're given a new religious name, and it's all about put off the old man, put on the new. So you may have wondered, why do they religious take a religious name? And again, the strongest reason or main reason is, again, to reinforce to that religious and to everyone else, I'm striving to put off the old man and to put on the new. The new man is the imitation of Christ, becoming more like Christ. taking on his holiness, his virtue, his good example. But again, it's not going to be easy. It's a battle, it's a death, a spiritual death that we have to go through. And we all have a predominant fault. This is something you read very much in the spiritual writers. Each one of us has a main fault or weakness, and it is incumbent on us to recognize it and to defeat it. We all have many faults and failings, of course, but there's one major one. And if you want to know what it is, well, just examine your conscience. You think of the seven capital sins. The one, you know, we start with pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. There you have it. Which one of those is your main weakness? That's your predominant fault. And of all the faults we have to conquer, that's the main one. And as we overcome our predominant fault, it's good to know that we are indirectly overcoming our other faults. So the old man, that selfish, lustful, angry, indulgent, prideful person has to go. And this is for all Christians, not just for religious. They have even more reason to, because of their calling. But again, St. Paul makes it clear that it happens, that obligation to die to self is given to us in our baptism. That's where we start. Of course, most of us were children, infants, so we couldn't make any conscious efforts this way. But once we began to, you know, you make use of reason, then we realize, I have to be good. I have to strive. And God's Ten Commandments are our path to heaven. If you love me, keep my commandments, our Lord said. And we also reduce those Ten Commandments to love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law. I did want to make a comment on the gospel of today. It was the second of two miraculous multiplications of loaves and fishes. And there's a lot of spiritual significance in these. They both happened not too far from each other on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. The first time there were five loaves and two fishes. And in today's gospel, St. Mark tells us there were seven loaves and a few fishes. The first time, 5,000 men were fed, and because they didn't enumerate the women and children, it was probably a lot more than 5,000. And then today we're told 4,000 were fed. The first time the multiplication of loaves happened, there were 12 baskets left over of fragments. This time there were seven baskets left over. And you see how God makes use of numbers to signify things. Seven sacraments, 7 days of the week, seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's the seven baskets that were left over today. The previous time, there were 12 baskets. What's so significant about that? The 12 apostles. And these were real events, as we're told. You know, Jesus said they have nothing to eat. How tragic that the current Vatican II Pope and the previous one basically denied that this happened. As true modernists, remember, modernism hates the idea of miracles because it wants to reduce everything to the natural and to the, you know, what's observable or what can be explained by human reason. And so they said the real miracle was that people were sharing with each other. I mean, how blatant of a denial of the miracle is that? Our Lord, as he's having the loaves and fishes distributed, they're being multiplied. Every time they reach into the basket, there's more loaves, more fishes. And again, modernism finds that very repugnant. It doesn't want to believe in miracles. And yet, God can do anything. And he's proving his messiahship, you might say, that he is the true Messiah. He is the Lord God. He is literally multiplying loaves and fishes. And there's enough even left over after everyone had their fill. And our Lord was not working these miracles just for the sake of doing them. It was to help them to make that act of faith, to say, thou art the Messiah. Thou art he who was to come. So it was a means to an end. It was to help them live holier lives. So as we read the miracles in Scripture, they really happened. There have been many miracles in the history of the church. It wasn't just for any wow effect. It was really wow. It'd be stunning to see a miracle happen, but the purpose of it is to help make us better. And yes, to help us die to the old man that we may put on Christ. So put on, as St. Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of His Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.